Accession number 32383, Mr. Tom Griffiths, Real What. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Griffiths?
Yes, Blaina. B-L-A-I-N-A, Monmouthshire.
And what was the date?
31st of the 1st, 1925.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? You know, your mother, your...
Yes, my father... Well, I was 7 when my father died. And my mother and my sister ran the business in the house.
Now, what was the business?
Confectionery. Cakes, bread, anything. Confectionery.
And had your father been in the Great War? Or?
No. He was at the time of the Great War, he was a miner.
And he'd obviously died fairly young. What had caused that?
Colon cancer. 53. So I was 6 or 7 at the time.
How many in the family?
My sister and myself.
That sort of. Yeah. What sort of a childhood did you have in Blaina? What gives
very very happy and contented. Very very happy. Nice, lovely little school. It was a really smashing little nice souvenir for me. A good souvenir.
Tell me about your education then.
Yeah, and then I went the 11 plus. Then of course. Passed that and went to Nantyglo Grammar School, okay? And with that, went to the police force.
Keeping with your education, I mean, at your school, what were you good at? What were you bad at? What subjects did you like?
Pretty good at most things, English, history, geography, bit of maths, which was the 11 plus then, you see. And then from the 11 plus, it was almost time then to go into the army. Which I did. Wanted to go into the infantry.
No, Hank. Tell us a bit about the cycling activities. You know what you did?
Yes, we would just get on the bikes and go, about 13, 14 boys. And it was very, very interesting because we found places that we never knew existed. And it was really a lovely occasion. Monmouth, Abergavenny, Kilwin, Crickhowell, all around the district. Say within about 30 miles.
And these weren't special bikes? Well, tell us a bit about
them. No, they weren't special bikes. They were all very good bikes and well looked after. You understand? I remember at a three-speed rally, which was a lightweight bike, but it was very, very good. And I could get along with it. You see? But apart from that, otherwise it was very good.
What about other sports?
Rugby. The general running, genuine little bit of boxing, and it was a nice, easy life. I enjoyed it.
Now tell us about the day war broke out. That's the 3rd of September.
Sunday morning, I think about the 3rd of September, something. And I went to an aunt's house, and tell her she'd been crying. And I said, "What's the matter, aunt?" And she said, "Oh well, we're at war with Germany." And that's the first sign of any notice that I ever had of the war. This is the first sign. It's one of those things, you see.
And how did you feel about it? I mean, what did you think? You were only what?
I felt, oh, there's something afoot, and I've got to go. Which was, you could feel it.
But you were only 14.
No, I was more than 14. I was... 16 or 17.
Not in 1930. I thought you were born in 1935.
That's right. Oh, I'm trying to think now. Part of my school life has gone. That's right. I was born in 1925.
So you were 14 when the war broke out.
That's it. 14, 17. That's it, 17, and then it was time to go.
So, but what about those 3 years of the war before you went?
Generally, you know, in school, doing my best, and how should I put it? It went very quickly. I tried to gross back, but it goes so quickly, you see.
How did the war affect your lives, you know, in those 3 years? What difference did it make?
Well... it affected my life in as much that there were certain ships that had been sunk, and we were at, you could tell the war was starting to get serious. You understand what I mean? The Cold War had gone. We were into this.
Phony war.
That's right. That's right. A hot war.
Now, what about, I mean, was there any air raids in this, in the
blind? Yes, there were air raids, and we had air raid warnings, but there was nothing seriously dropped. Nothing serious.
Not in the blind
area?
No. Did you have air raid shelters?
There were little shelters put up, but not to any degree, not seriously.
So you didn't go in one?
No.
And what about rationing, food rationing?
Well, I remember it was, how shall I put it, reasonably strict. You couldn't get this and you couldn't get that, but genuinely speaking, okay. We lived fairly well, fairly well.
And was there an army cadet or anything like that at the school?
There was an army cadet, no. There was an army cadet force, but I never joined it.
Now, why not?
I don't know. Just never joined it. It attracted certain people, but and there was an ATC, but I never joined that.
Did you join any of them, any of the service things?
No, and then I went into the police then.
Now tell me about joining, how old were you when you joined the police?
Oh, about 16.
So that would be 1941.
That's it.
Now, how did you go? Why did you join the police? What made you do that?
I don't know. There was a little. I don't know whether it was a rumor, but somebody said you want to get in the police force, and I applied, and I blowed the. And I met David there. That's where we met, and that's the story of the police force. Just, you know, very, very good, very interesting.
So tell me about the training with the police then.
Well, it was a question of. You had to learn to type, and you had to do this, and take this message there, take that message there. And it was a pretty full day, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I went into lodging with a chap, oh, he was a marvellous fellow, another policeman. His name was Ralph McIntosh, that's beside the point. And that policeman taught me lots of things that I never knew about. He was very, very good and articulate. And he was a police mechanic.
Now, what were you? Were you just an ordinary?
I was just an ordinary, like a police cadet. Police cadet.
And what about police work? You mentioned typing, but not much about police work.
Not actual police work, no. But you would be expected to take a message here or go there or go there.
So you were an officer
in the general officers, which was in Abergavenny then.
So you weren't a police constable. You
were no, police cadet. Like Jed Dave Edwards.
Now, so you started in what, 1941?
1942.
So probably when you were 17.
Hmm.
And were you still under training then? I mean, how long did the training last?
Very, very strict training. You were joining with the other policemen, you know, doing this, doing that. Generally, quite alert. Quite alert.
So, I mean, did you complete your training before
you
joined the army?
No, my time went, and that was the time to go.
So, tell me about your recruitment for the army. You were called up, were you?
That's right.
So, tell me about the call-up procedure. How did it work?
Well, you just had this your notice through the door, and you got on the bus, and I went to Brecon Barracks, which is about 25 miles away.
And when was this?
1943, that's right.
Was it in January when you were 18 or later?
18. When you were 18, that was the time.
So you were called up in January 1943?
That's right.
And what happened when you got to Brecon Barracks?
Well, that was a different life. You were in the barracks and that was it. And I was there for about 6 weeks.
Now, who'd you join? Now, who had you joined at Brecon Barracks? Was that the Monmouthshire Regiment, or was it, what was it?
No, it was just an ordinary, like an infantry battalion. But there were no, there was no name to it. You would join, you would be given the name of the battalion when you left. And I went to the second Mons.
Right, so we'll come back. So tell me about the basic training you had. What was your reception like when you got to Brecon Barracks?
Very good, quite helpful. And we were in Nissen huts. And
what were the huts like? Can you describe the Nissen huts? Because there's not many of them left now.
Yes, like, you know, the ordinary Nissen huts with a sort of a wooden roof, quite normal. And there was a great feeling of bonhomie there. You could tell that they were your friends.
So how were the beds laid out in the huts? Or what were the huts look like?
1, 2, 3. You just put your blankets, fold them reasonably well, and that would be your bed for the night. But it was, there was a great feeling of contentment there. Got on really well.
So were they the same sort of lads as yourself?
Same sort of lads.
Lads,
yes.
Same sort of background.
Yes, they were up there, all very nice boys. Very nice boys, and a lot of them unfortunately never returned from the war, you see.
And any of them you still remember?
Well, I can remember them by their faces, but I can't remember by names, you see.
And no bullying or anything like
that? No, there was no bullying at all.
Now, tell me about the training. So how did the, what was a typical day like? You know, if you see what I mean.
You'd get up about 7-ish, and then you'd go out into the, you'd have your breakfast, and then you'd go out into the field then, with Blengens or whatever it was, grenades, anything that they could supply you with. Or a rifle, naturally.
Well, tell us about the training then. So if we start with a drill, how do you take to drill? You've never done it before.
No, not too bad. Not too bad. It was pretty good. Sergeants would shout a little bit, but generally speaking, they had a tough job to do. Some of the boys were a little bit slow on the uptake, but apart from that, it was very, very good.
But you had no trouble with drill?
No, no trouble.
Did you enjoy it? Did you understand?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
What did you enjoy about it?
I don't know. It was keeping in step and, you know, getting rid of some shoe leather, but it was good. It was good.
Now, what about PT, physical training? Tell us about that. What types of PT?
Not a lot. Not a lot. A little bit. Nothing strenuous or nothing like that, you know. Nothing... You sort of have a little run and things like that, but nothing too strenuous.
Any route marches?
Route marches, yes. One a week. One a week.
And how far? How tough?
8 miles. 8 miles, maybe. And then you would get perhaps one on 5 mile, and then it would increase. And then you end up doing a 15-mile.
And you got used to it.
Yeah.
What about rifle training? How did they teach you to shoot?
Look at the target very carefully. Squeeze the trigger like if you were going to squeeze a lemon and click. That would be number one. And then you'd have Bren gun training then, which was quite an exciting weapon, you see.
Well, what? Tell me about the Bren gun.
You talk about speed, or you'd have single shots, or you could have bursts, you see. But it was a very, very useful gun.
Why?
And you could carry it. This was the secret of the Bren gun. And, of course, we're talking about, a long time ago. You were pretty fit then. You could do it. But I found it very interesting.
Was it an accurate weapon?
Pardon?
Accurate? Was it an accurate weapon?
Yes, it was very, very useful, a good weapon.
Did you have to learn to strip it down?
Yes, oh yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, not easy, but I was fairly good mechanically with my hands, and I didn't find it terribly difficult.
What about bayonet? Do any bayonet training?
Yes, bayonet training, yes, regularly. Oh, that was a bit of a hassle, you know. You could just pick up the rifle with a bayonet on, and then you would charge. And that would be it.
Were they still teaching you to scream and shout?
Yes, they were. Yep. Yes, they were.
And what were you charging?
A sack. A sack, which would meant to look like a man. But you would get in and you would poke away and in, out, and off to go.
What about hand grenades?
Hand grenades? Very good. We went to a special camp for that. And not easy, but you'd get the pin out, you'd ready, and you'd throw.
With a round arm action.
That's right. You got it. Very good. You're a military man as well.
And what, were you nervous of grenades? Some people, there were quite a lot of accidents with grenades. We were
very, very serious. Yes. No, never worried about it. Just take the pen out and wait and click. And away we go.
Now, any other weapons you were introduced to?
Not really. Bren gun, rifle, bayonet, no, that was about it.
What about tactical?
And then we went on to Piats then, you see.
Oh, tell me about the Piat then.
Piat, yes. Heavy, awkward, and we didn't know about the German Panzerfaust, you see, that was a wonderful weapon. Very, very simple, click and it gone.
And how do you work the Piat then?
The Piat, hard, very, very hard on the shoulder. You'd fire it, boom, and you had to really tense yourself, otherwise you'd knock your shoulder out. But it wasn't a popular weapon with the infantry, the Piat, anti-tank weapon.
So any other, what about tactical training, you know, pretending mock attacks?
Yes, you had mock attacks.
Tell us about that.
Well, you had certain colors, certain men, they were all sort of degrouped, and you had to attack this person, and then you'd attack another platoon, you see?
And was that it? So just platoon tactics? Any just digging platoon. In or?
Platoon.
Any digging in or for that kind of thing? Practice of that?
No, I don't think so.
Now, what about preparing for kit inspections? Things like, you know, bullying.
Yes, very, very good.
Tell me about it.
Very keen. Kit inspections were very, very keen. And if you won, they would call it a stick man. You'd have the day off. If you had a platoon sergeant who was reasonable, you'd have this an officer come around inspecting the kit, and he'd say, "This is the best kit of the pick here," and you'd have the day off.
So how would you prepare for that? How would you get your boots, the rest of it done?
Everything in order on the bed, tidy, the boots polished.
And how did you bully your
blankets?
Boots?
Blankets in the right position and things like that.
How did you bully your boots?
Pardon?
How did you bully your boots to get them perfect?
And polish.
Spit and polish.
Yeah. The only way to get a nice shine on the toe cap.
Was it just the toe cap you did? Toe cap and heels, was it all?
That's it.
Anything else about? What about the instructors? What did you think of the instructors?
I found most of them were very, very good. But there were a couple of awkward ones, and you always get that, you see.
Now, what made the good ones good? What did you like about them?
The one that I liked best of all was the chap that would, how shall I put it? He would describe what he was going to do with a gun. And he would describe tactically what he was going to do. And then you would think to yourself, he would make a good soldier. Very good.
So, and what were the bad ones? What was wrong with them?
Oh, a little bit uncouth. A little bit, you know, with the tongue and that. And a little bit, not nice people.
Too much shouting and swearing.
But, as I say, genuinely speaking, they were all very decent types. Very decent types. What happened to them after? Whether they stayed on, I have no idea.
Now, were you allowed out at Brecon while you were at the barracks?
Yes.
Where would you go?
Sometimes you go to the pictures. Sometimes you go and have a drink with some friends. Generally speaking, otherwise you'd stay in the barracks.
Did you drink much?
Oh, I know. I like an odd pint of beer, you know.
Just a pint or so.
Yeah. Well, what you could afford.
Now you were there about 6 weeks, you reckon?
Yes, I was there 6 weeks exactly.
So would that be sort of January to February, or do you not know? Was it winter?
I went about April.
Right. So you probably went in round about March then.
That's right, and it was lovely. I remember when I left Brecon, it was a lovely warm day. Lovely warm day. There were about five or six of us who went to the Second Mons.
Now, whereabouts were the Second Mons when you joined them?
They were at the place called Tenterden in Kent.
And what was your first, you know, when you join a new unit, what was it like? Because they were to be important to you, weren't they? What were your first impression of the Second Mons? That's Second Battalion Mons, isn't it?
Very good. We went to a little place called, I may be jumping ahead now. Went to Tenterden.
So then we went. That's what I mean. When you first got to Tenterden, what did you think of them?
Very good. Thought that they were very good. We were belonging to a battalion.
And which company did they put you in?
B Company.
And did you stay with them?
Until they changed the company to A Company, because one company got very, very badly mauled in Normandy.
Right, we'll come to that. Yeah. Now, so who were the characters that you can remember from B Company? I mean, who was the major commanding? I presume it was a major.
Major Dean.
Dean.
Yeah, D-E-A-N-E.
And what was he like?
Nice, good fellow. Nice chap. Really good.
What was good about him?
A good officer as well. Carried a little hunting horn with him when he went into the attack, but very good.
And who else? So Major Dean, who else is in your company?
Pardon?
Who else do you remember?
Sergeant Major. Very good.
Who was he?
His name was Musto. M-U-S-T-O-E. Musto.
What was he like?
Very good. He was a bit on the gruff side, but you could have a little chat to him if you wanted to.
Any other characters that stand out?
Well, you always get characters that stand out in a battalion, you see. One chap, he was a character, but we were on an assault course and in Whitstable. And this chap, he got to the top of this assault course and he wouldn't move. And then this sergeant said, you better jump from there, otherwise there's going to be trouble. No, he wouldn't move. So they eventually got him down, and it was goodbye. And I always remember the chap's name was Davis, and he lived in Newport. And I thought, well, he had more courage than any of us had. He just decided that was enough.
And he lost his nerve? Was he too high?
He lost his nerve, if he ever had one. But he was a character. He really was. And he knew it all. He would transmit it all, and he knew it all. He knew that son.
So tell me how you started training. While you were at Tenterden, what were you doing at Tenterden? The training.
In general, everyday training as an infantryman. Tenterden, and then we went to a place called...
Tell me about that a bit. What is general training?
General training, well...
What kind of stuff are you doing?
Daily training, you know. Get out of bed and get your kit on and things like that. And then we went to a place called Sittingbourne.
And do you know when it was you went there?
Sittingbourne.
When did you go there?
Oh, well, I'm thinking about March, April maybe. And then...
Next year, of 44?
No, in 1944 we went to a place called Whitstable. The Sittingbourne was before Whitstable.
But you said you went to Tenterden in April, so you can't have gone to Sittingbourne in March.
I'm trying to think now.
So it's all right. I mean, it's very difficult, we know that.
Yeah.
We don't mind.
Yeah.
You're not sure when you went to Sittingbourne?
Not quite sure.
So what were you doing at Sittingbourne then?
sitting one, the usual everyday infantryman's job. A little bit of training, a little bit of this, a bit of that. And then we went to Whitstable. That was the place, Whitstable. And that was quite a nice seaside town. We were at a little place called Sea Salter, which is one of the battalions was at Tankerton, and the other one was at Sea Salter. Now, Dave went to Tankerton. Certain companies were there. Certain companies were at Sea Salter, and I was at Sea Salter.
And that's
very nice.
Is that part of Whitstable, Sea Salter?
Yes, yes.
And where were you living at, at Sittingbourne or Whitstable? What sort of accommodation were you in? Tents or...?
No, it was quite a big... It was a hut that had been purchased by the people of London for these young people that had nowhere to go for a holiday. You see? It was called the Battery. Battery. And I was very happy there. Hard training. They had an assault course which was constructed on a golf course there.
Tell me about that assault course, because that's where the man lost his nerve, wasn't it? Tell me about that assault course.
That's right. That was on this quite near the beach. How should I put it? Two or three companies there. They were mixed. They would get it everywhere. You see what I mean? There were about three companies there.
Tell me about this old course. What were the obstacles?
Everything. Anything, you can mention it. Under the wire, over the top, down the other side, walls. Anything that resembled a battlefield.
Now, were you still a private? What rank? Did you stay a private or did you get any
promotion? Stayed a private all the time.
So tell me about David, your friend. I forgot his surname.
Yes.
David
Edwards.
Edwards, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Well, we knew one another. He was a good lad. And he went anti-tank gun. Anti-tank gunner. Now, how he got there, I don't know, but anti-tank.
Now, tell him, because I know, because how had you known this David Edwards?
How did I know him? Met him in the police force. And... Nice, a very, very nice boy and a nice family. Nice family.
So did you pal together in the army as well?
Yes. There was another boy. He got wounded in Burma, but he went to a different battalion, you see. This other boy, he was a police cadet as well. Good fellow.
So what was David Edwards, I've met him now, but what was he like then when he was just 18 or 19?
Smashing boy. He was really very gentle and good. He was a good, good type, Dave was.
Now, anything else about your training at Whitstable?
No, except that it was, I found it toughening up a lot. You get used to the cold weather. It was very, very, very tough. And I remember we came back sometime in December, and somebody said, you're going on leave. The whole battalion is going on leave. That would have been 1944, and the whole battalion went on 7 day leave. It was marvellous, marvellous.
Why? What did you do?
Well, you bring home Christmas time, a few little nice little things, a nice little couple of cigarettes.
This is 43 then, 1943.
1943, that's right. That's right, December 1943.
And so it was just nice to get back. So then what happened?
Back to the battalion.